We come now to our scripture readings, and the first one is from the Epistle to the Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 17 through 22. Let us listen to the Word of God as it comes to us from this letter of Paul to the church. So, he came and proclaimed peace to you who are far off and peace to those who are near. For through him, both of us have access to one Spirit and one Spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Our gospel lesson is from Matthew's gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 16. Then Jesus called his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts. No bag for your journey, or two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it, but if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it would be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. We just sang it. The question is, what's the next line? What is built on that foundation? Well, we've been in a series, and we've talked about the four key things that the true church is composed of, the four marks. The church is one, the church is holy, the church is Catholic, with a little c, meaning universal, and the church is apostolic. And so we conclude the series today with talking about that fourth mark of the church. The church is apostolic. What do we mean by that? That we believe in the one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. Well, what we believe about it is this, that the church is founded upon the teachings of the apostles in the early church. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 talks about the church is founded upon the apostles' teachings of the early church. If you go over to the book of Revelation, when it describes the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, as John describes the holy city coming down, the new Jerusalem, it says in Revelation 21, verse 14, that her walls, the walls of the city, have 12 foundations. And each of the foundation has a name of one of the 12 apostles written on it. That firmly illustrates that the church is built upon the teachings of the apostles. In other words, the faith that was first proclaimed and taught is the faith that is handed down and handed down and handed down and handed down even unto today. Those early creeds that were developed, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, those early statements of belief concerning Jesus, it was so very important to come out with a clear teaching who Jesus was and what we believe, because there are all kinds of heresies even today. There are gospels proclaimed that aren't the true gospel. The half of it may be, but the other half's not. And that's not the full gospel. And so we believe in the gospel as faithfully proclaimed and lived out through the apostles' teachings and the early church. You know, it's been handed down to us, and so we hand it down to others. Now, Jesus called 12 disciples. Disciple means learner. And Jesus poured himself into these 12 persons. He taught them about the kingdom of God, primarily that it is present in his presence. And he talked about what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And he talked about the good news in terms of what God is doing in the world and what God will do in the world. And so he taught the disciples. But Jesus was aware that that he wouldn't be on earth forever. And so he had to prepare them to be his representatives in the world. So he began to train them, and one day he decided to send out the 12 disciples, only now they are called apostles. Because the word apostle means one who is sent out. And so in our scripture from Matthew's gospel, we see that he sent out the 12 apostles. And so there you have it, the first apostles, those sent out by Jesus into the world. Now what's important to know about an apostle? Is an apostle has been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. An apostle knows what he or she is talking about because an apostle has met Jesus Christ, has been in his presence. An apostle is one who goes forth as Christ's representative, not to speak his or her own opinion about this or that, but to speak about what Jesus says, the gospel of good news that the kingdom of God is now present and is amongst us and calls forth a response to it. The apostle, simply means one who is sent out from the presence of Christ to proclaim good news in the world, sent out into the world. So in a nutshell, that's basically what it means to be an apostle. Now, there are more apostles than the 12 apostles because other people encountered the resurrected Christ. And they went forth to tell the story. And then as time on, we know that the word apostle came to simply mean anyone who was set apart and sent out as Christ's representatives in the world. There's one very famous person that we call an apostle. And he's one of the primary characters in the book of Acts. And his name is Paul. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul's authority was questioned because they said, well, you weren't with Jesus. So how can you claim to have this authority? And he told them, listen, I may have been one untimely born. In other words, not born of the time when I was to see him in the flesh, but I met the resurrected Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And he is the one who called me. My call is from Christ. I have the authority of Christ. And Christ set Paul apart to go to the Gentiles. He first went to the Jews, but then it became apparent that he was to be sent out to preach to the Gentiles. So in a sense, we can think of apostles like missionaries, people who are set apart to go into the world, go into all the world, and to proclaim the good news in places where there is not worship of God, so that as a result of the proclamation and the teaching and the living of the example of Christ, there may rise up worshiping communities and that God may be glorified. And the emphasis is never really on the apostles. It's on God and on the Holy Spirit. Now we talk about the book of Acts, and in some Bibles it may say the Acts of the Apostles. That's pretty nice. But it's not really the apostles who are in charge. It's the Holy Spirit. So sometimes you might see the acts of the Holy Spirit in the early church. So these ordinary persons were asked to go out into the world. And we see that Jesus began to train the disciples very early on in what that meant. He gave them a specific command. Go to Galilee. Don't go over here, but go to Galilee. He gave them specific instructions that are in some ways instructive for us. Go simply with the simplicity of the gospel. Don't take worldly things with you because you are not of this world and you do not depend upon this world for sustenance. You will be taken care of. When persons would go into the temple, they wouldn't take their money bags, they wouldn't take their tunics, they wouldn't take their staffs, they wouldn't take anything that represented the world because they were coming into God's presence, so they left all those things behind. So Jesus is sending them to Galilee to leave all those things behind. For unto them, the world is now the temple of God, and they're going to represent Christ, and they are to be in apostles. And they were given very clear instructions. In other words, they weren't to spend a lot of time. They were sent with a sense of urgency. Not received, it's okay. Move on. You see, there'd be other ways to reach people who turned down the message. But they were one of the first ones to go out. And so he encouraged them to choose wisely the place they stayed at. Because if they stayed at a house of that didn't have a good reputation, that would rub off on them. That would interfere with their message. They were to stay at well-established places. They weren't to move around from place to place saying, well, I hear Henry has better food over there. See, I'm going to spend the night with Harry, eat supper with him. No. They're staying in one place. They are to leave. And shaking the dust off simply means be prompt. Be prompt with your blessings, be prompt with your departures, and be always prompt to make sure that you live by the power of the Holy Spirit in the presence of God and that you do not allow worldly stuff to stick with you. Shake it off. It's okay. So, he gave them specific instructions, and so you have the early apostles. You have the famous apostle, Paul. You have the term apostles used even today in some circles. It's fairly interesting. Sometimes I'll turn on the radio, somebody will be preaching. This is Apostle H.W. And I'm going, Apostle H.W. Well, you know, listen to him a little while. And it's kind of interesting. But there are some people who have been called not only as ministers, but as church planners, persons who feel that they have truly been given the gift of apostleship to go forth and to plant churches, like Paul, to go forth into the world to plant churches where there is no worship of God, so that through their preaching, teaching, and example, people may come to glorify God and they'd be worshiping communities. You know, one of my favorite all-time movies is simply called The Apostle. I don't know how many of y'all saw it. You know, you can always rent it. But it's about a Pentecostal preacher. Now, he tries to turn his life around and to rededicate it. And he goes directly to the Lord and says, what do you want me to do? And as clearly as he can understand it, the world tells him, the Lord tells him, you're to go to start a church where there's not a church, or restart a church, but you're to go and you're to preach the gospel, and you don't need to know everything, you just need to go. And he takes that so seriously that he winds up going down to Louisiana. He finds an old abandoned church, gets on the radio, he preaches. He says, we're going to start a church congregation, but we're going to repair the building. They spend time repairing the building. He drives a little bus to pick people up at various places. There's only about five or six people to get on, and it's kind of interesting. But he calls himself the Apostle E.F. And one of the best scenes in that movie, there are many good scenes, is their first worship service, in which just a bunch of regular people who are from poor backgrounds, they really don't have much, and there they are, and they got little children, got some elderly people, adults, He says, now we're going to praise the Lord. Anybody got an instrument? And there's one little kid, he has a little guitar. Doesn't know how to play it, but has a guitar. He says, well, play the guitar. Says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Little kid goes, ding, 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 ding. He says, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Says, anybody else got an instrument? One man, old man, had a horn. And he says, blow the horn for the Lord. That great, great, great. Hallelujah for the Lord. And, you know, you kind of find yourself envious. Kind of find yourself wanting to be there. Because you're beginning to see the Holy Spirit bring to life a group of people who had previously no place for them. Discovering there is a place for them. And not only a place for them to have church, but a place for them in the kingdom of God to be children of God. And so this Pentecostal who really had no other credentials than to say he was called and sent by God, goes out and starts this church. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. The key actor in it is Duvall. He's a wonderful, wonderful actor. What I really liked about it because it's about the apostolic church. Jesus didn't say, go and have church services. He didn't say, go and have some good meetings. He said, go and discuss a few things. He didn't say, go and have a sing-along fest. All those things are good. But he didn't say, go and be by yourselves. He said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Go. And that's what's so exciting about that movie, because that fella did it. He went. That's what's exciting about the book of Acts. You read the book of Acts and the church is spreading all across the Roman Empire. But simply because Paul's going and preaching and raising up people and founding a church and equipping them to be the church. He moves on. They become leaders. Some of them join him in these three missionary journeys. And by the time that the book of Acts is over, you see how the church that started in Jerusalem has reached Rome. You see the spread of early Christianity. Why? Because the church didn't just meet, greet, and eat. The church was sent. And you know, I think about what Jesus said. I'm sending you out there. And it's dangerous. Jesus never, never, never tried to sugarcoat what it means to follow him. He says, you know, it's going to be dangerous out there. And in many ways, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. And so I want to encourage you to be wise as serpents, but as innocent as doves. And of course, he trained those early disciples to become apostles and sent them out. And the rest is history. But I think about how God can do things like that. In the Methodist Church, if you Google General Board of Global Ministries, it's unbelievable. You'll see where the United Methodist Church has missionaries all over the world. We are in places I didn't even know that were places. We have persons all over the world doing unbelievable things. I believe God's called us to do unbelievable things. I believe that the best years of this church's ministry are just ahead, not behind, but ahead. But you know, sometimes I get discouraged because the church doesn't move as fast as I want it to. Sometimes it seems like we have about as many problems in the church as they got out in the world. Sometimes it wonders, are we really the group that God meant us to be? But you see, I stay in this place because God is in this place. I'll share with you a little illustration. True story. A fellow was talking about a person who went to a high school, to a small, rural place where they didn't have much in the line of arts. It was a very, very primitive place. But this person went to start a music department in the high school. And they didn't have singing groups. They didn't have musical groups. They were poor. They farmed the land. They worked hard. They went to school. And they hoped their children could get jobs. But they didn't really have arts. You know, we're blessed around here. Go to school here and go to school there. They got all kinds of things in the arts, both the visual and the and vocal. And Carrie Band Day is a good example of that. You know, we set the tone for having bands. And so this person went to a place and they had never had an orchestra before. And he said, "We're going to have an orchestra." Kid said, "I don't know if I can play an orchestra." He said, "No, that's the name of the group. There's different instruments in the orchestra." So he raised money, distributed the instruments, and gave instruments to everybody. He had to teach them how to play the instruments. They did about as well as they could. And he said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to have a performance to this high school. We're going to invite the whole town, and we're going to play Beethoven's Ninth Symphony." How many of you can play Beethoven's Ninth Symphony? Well, as you can imagine, they practiced and practiced and practiced, and the time finally came. And the word was out. "Let's go see that program down at the school. Amazing things going on. They got this crazy teacher down here that's got an orchestra down here, and our children are playing in it, and they're going to play some sort of ninth symphony by Beethoven or Beethoven or whatever the B's name's supposed to be." So they show up. The place is packed. And the kids play, but it's pretty much what you expect it to be. And one person who went down there from out of town turned and said, "Wow, so that's it? What's that all about? All that practicing, all that money raised, all that. Why, you know what? The Chicago Symphony can't even play Beethoven's Ninth Symphony the way it's supposed to be played. And they tried to do one of the most difficult pieces of music there is. And this high school orchestra is, that's the best they got." Well, the guy next to him said, "Well, I want to tell you something. You see, people around these parts never heard music before at all. And before this man came, they certainly never heard of Beethoven. And they never really heard about Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. And most of the people who are here tonight, this was their only chance to ever, ever, ever hear Beethoven's music. And these kids played it. That's the miracle. They played it. And apart from playing it, no one would have never heard it. And so when we go forth into the world, it's not about us. It's what God does through us. We're simply to play the music. Share the gospel. Is it perfect? No, nothing's perfect. But for some people, it may be the only time they get to hear the good news. You don't know what it might mean to the people with whom you share it. And so, God calls us. We come to the table. And then He sends us. He sends us as apostles. And when we go, that's when the exciting things happen. Praise be to God. Let's turn now as we prepare for Holy Communion. Invitation to communion. Oops. Christ invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin, and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. we have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray together the prayer our Lord taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."